From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we'd like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Mudik ban to come into effect on April 24th, midnight. COVID-19 disrupt construction work at Papua's pond sports venues. Now the news in details. Indonesian Transportation Ministry spokeswoman Adita Irawati confirmed that the temporary ban on using public transportation, private vehicle and motorbikes for Idul Fitri homebound travel or Mudik will come into effect on Friday, April 24th. As Korut Bantaranus Agency, Irawati said, the transportation of logistics, drugs, officers, fire engines, ambulance, and hearses are excluded from the ban. The ban was stipulated in Minister of Transportation Regulation on Transportation Control during the Idul Fitri 1441 Hijriah Mudik. The regulation was issued to follow up on a decision made during a limited cabinet meeting chaired by President Joko Widodo on Tuesday, April 21st. The ban applies until May 31, 2020 for land transportation, June 15, 2020 for railway transportation, June 8, 2020 for sea transportation, and June 1, 2020 for air transportation. President Joko Widodo decided to delay holding the 2020 National Games or PON in Papua from October 2020 to October 2021 over the ongoing new coronavirus disease pandemic that disrupted the competitions of several sports venues. Construction work at the venue for this multi-sport event could not be continued, partly owing to the shortage of building materials in Papua, Youth and Sport Minister Zainuddin Amali informed journalists as Korut Bayantara. The construction material available was insufficient since supplies from outside Papua were hindered by the imposition of travel restrictions and social restrictions measures in Papua. Seven East Aceh policemen were rewarded by acting Aceh Governor Nova Iriansyah for foiling an attempt by a drug ring to smuggle 45 kilograms of crystal methamphetamine into Nalang Village, Julok Subdistrict, East Aceh District. Head of the Aceh National and Political Unity Office, Mahdi Effendi, presented the reward on behalf of the Aceh Governor on Wednesday at the Hall of the East Aceh Police Precinct in Idi. Aceh Police Chief Inspector General Wahyu Widada participated in the event via video conference from Bandar Aceh, the capital of Aceh Province. Due to its geographical proximity to several countries, Aceh Province is vulnerable to transnational drug trafficking activities. In a recent drug raid, the East Aceh Precinct policemen had successfully thwarted an attempt by drug dealers to smuggle 45 kilograms of crystal meth and arrested five suspects belonging to an international drug syndicate. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The coronavirus disease 2019, COVID-19, is a global pandemic of colossal magnitude that has impacted the health and safety of billions and has long-term economic and social repercussions. This challenging scenario is a time for APEC economies to relook the trade policy response to ensure that it supports health system across the region. Taking into account that the trade policy is a tool for fighting the pandemic, Director of the APAC Policy Support Units, Dennis Hu, suggested that it is time for countries to lift export bans and lower barriers on medical goods. Hu added, saving lives is the most pressing priority right now. Finding innovative economic solutions to this dilemma cannot wait until the lockdowns are lifted and the health crisis abates. The first human trial in Europe of coronavirus vaccine has begun in Oxford. Two volunteers were injected, the first of more than 800 people recruited for the study. Half will receive the COVID-19 vaccine and half a control vaccine, which protects against meningitis but not coronavirus. As quoted by BBC.com, the design of the trial means volunteers will not know which vaccines they are getting, though doctors will. The vaccine was deployed in under 3 months by a team of Oxford University. Sarah Gilbert, professor of vaccinologies at the Jenner Institute, led the preclinical research. The vaccine is made from a weakened version of a common cold virus known as an adenovirus from chimpanzees that has been modified so it cannot grow in humans. The U.S. Congress has passed a new COVID-19 relief package totaling $484 billion, the fourth aid bill to clear Congress in response to the pandemic. The legislation approved 3,888.5 by the House of Representatives tops up a small business aid fund while funding hospitals and testing. President Donald Trump said he will enact the bill, which passed the Senate unanimously on Tuesday. The U.S. has over 845,000 confirmed cases of the virus and 46,800 deaths. Last month, Washington enacted the largest economic stimulus package in U.S. history, with $2 trillion in coronavirus aid. Millions of people around the world will be observing the holy month of Ramadan under lockdowns this year. Fasting is obligatory for all adults followers of the faith who are able to safely go without food and drink. But there are some considerations when it comes to fasting during a pandemic. Fighting infection takes a lot of energy. University of Sussex immunologist Dr. Jenna Maggiocci said, as quoted BBC.com, and prolonged periods of not eating or drinking can weaken the immune system. There is also some risk in becoming dehydrated, as it can affect the mucus that lines your airways and acts as a protective barrier. But looking after other aspects of your health by trying to get enough sleep and exercise and de-stressing where possible can help keep your immune system functioning as it should. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitled COVID-19 Pandemic and Worship for Muslims. Muslims are the second largest religious group in the world. According to a 2015 study, Islam has 1.8 billion adherents, making up around 23% of the world's population. Ramadan, which is a holy month for Muslims this year, began on April 24th and as usual has become an important momentum for Islamic countries. In particular, Saudi Arabia, the home of two main mosques for Muslims, namely Masjid al-Haram in the city of Mecca and the Nabawi Mosque in Medina. After the COVID-19 pandemic attack, various countries, including Saudi Arabia, the two mosques had been closed to avoid the spread of the deadly virus. This year's Ramadan has become very different because Muslims cannot carry out various worship as usual. Umrah, a form of mass worship that is often held in the month of Ramadan, automatically stopped. It is feared that the Hajj pilgrimage, which is this year will be at the end of July, will also be impossible if the coronavirus continues to hit the world. On the other hand, according to Saudi Arabian media, King Salman, despite having already decided to close the cities of Mecca and Medina, decided to keep opening the two mosques for typical Ramadan worship services such as Taraweh and Qiyamul Layl prayers every night. But this is only for a limited circle, such as the royal family and its employees. History records the closing of the Hajj season. A ritual followed by Muslims from all over the world has been done 40 times for various reasons. The Saudi Arabian government seems to be very likely to close the 2020 Hajj if the COVID-19 virus pandemic continues to worsen. With the closing of Mecca and Medina for the Ramadan and even possibly Hajj season this year, it is clearly seen how the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on the world, especially Muslims, not only in the field of health or economics alone. It turns out in the religious field felt it as well. Hopefully the COVID-19 pandemic will pass quickly and all will return to normal, especially Muslims that can carry out all the rituals of the worships without any obstructions. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any surfaces that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems. From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Today in history, what occurred on April 24th. I'll begin with April 24th, 1927, BCG vaccine is found. Dr. Albert Kalmet and researcher Camille Gehring managed to find a vaccine to treat tuberculosis or TBC, the Bacillus Calmette-Gehring BCG vaccine. Their research to find the vaccine began in 1906 when Gehring found resistance to lung disease associated with the presence of the Bacillus tuberculosis virus that lives in the blood. After the two researchers managed to find the BCG vaccine, this vaccine was tested on babies in Paris. However, in 1930, the BCG vaccination program had caused a disaster with the death of a number of babies in Germany due to tuberculosis, precisely after they were given the vaccine. In 1950, University of Illinois in the United States was licensed to produce this vaccine and sell it in America. However, due to the strong opposition of the American public to the use of the BCG vaccine, this vaccine is not used routinely. Turning to April 24, 1967, cosmonaut Vladimir Komarov dies in Soyuz 1. Soyuz 1 was part of the Soviet Union's space program and was launched into orbit on April 23, 1967, carrying a cosmonaut Colonel Vladimir Komarov. He died when the plane crashed upon returning to Earth on April 24, 1967. The cause of the fall of Soyuz 1 was damage to the aircraft's braking system. As a result, the plane crashed on Earth, killing Komarov. I'll end today in history with Asia Africa Day is set on April 24, 2015. The 60th Asia Africa Summit took place in Jakarta and Bandung, West Java, April 19 to 24, 2015. The conference agreed to establish April 24 as the Day of Asia Africa and Bandung as the capital city of Asian African solidarity. The termination of April 24th was on the last day of the 1955 Asia-Africa Conference. While Bandung was chosen as the capital of Asian-African solidarity because it was the venue of the first Asian-African Conference in 1955. And listener, that was Today in History.
Bergetar hatiku saat ku berkenalan dengannya. Menyebutkan nama dirinya. Sejak ku bertemu, ku telah jatuh hati padanya. Di dalam hati telah menjelma cinta, dan bawa ladaku selalu dalam mimpimu. Di langkahmu serta hidup, di hatiku bawalah diriku selamanya. Bergetar hatiku saat ku berkenalan dengannya. Aku dengar dia menyebutkan nama dirinya. Sejak ku bertemu, ku telah jatuh hati padanya. Di dalam hati telah menjelma cinta, dan bawa ladaku selalu dalam mimpimu. Di langkahmu serta hidupmu, genggamlah daku kini juga nanti. Harapan di hatiku, bawalah diriku selamanya. bersamanya.
Well, fellow listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back to My Indonesia on import duty and import tax on goods for handling COVID-19 exempted. The Indonesian government exempt imports duties and import taxes on goods for the handling needs of COVID-19 to all parties, including the central of regional governments, individuals, local entities, and non-legal entities. Director General of the Customs and Excise, Heru Pambudi, in a press statement in Jakarta on Sunday said, "The customs and taxation facilities are very helpful in providing goods for domestic needs. The facilities provided are exemptions from import duty and or excise, are not subject to value-added tax or VAT and sales tax on luxury goods or PPNBM. In addition, there is also exemption from collecting income tax or PPH Article 22 on the import of goods for the purpose of handling COVID-19, both for commercial and non-commercial purposes." Heru added that there are 73 types of goods facilitated in customs and taxations. These items include hand sanitizers and products containing disinfectants, including soap, test kits and laboratory reagents, rapid tests, and polymerase chain reactions or PCR. In addition, there are processed culture media for the development of swab test microorganisms, as well as groups of drugs and vitamins. The items of medical are thermometers, ventilators, swabs, human heat scanners, syringe, in vitro laboratory test equipment, both electric and non-electric, oxygen therapy devices to baby incubators. Other groups of goods are personal protective equipments or PPE, such as masks and protective clothing, gloves, food protective equipment, face shields, protective glasses, head protectors. The facility can be submitted electronically through the Indonesian National Single Window or INSW portal and can be submitted in writing to the head of the customs office where the goods are imported. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Dari semuanya, lelah yang pernah mendampingi aku, tiada yang pernah selama 2 jam bikin ku menunggu. Kau yang pertama melakukannya, mengapa aku menyesu? Dari semuanya, lelah yang pernah mencintai aku, tiada yang pernah hingga detik ini bikin ku cemburu. Kau yang pertama melakukannya, mengapa ragu begitu? Di mana logika hatiku jatuh cinta kepadanya? Logika. Dari semuanya, lelaki yang pernah mendampingi aku, tiada yang pernah selama 2 jam bikin ku menunggu. Di mana
karena dengan logika.
Dari semuanya lelaki yang pernah mencintai aku, tiada yang pernah hingga detik ini bikin ku cemburu. Kau yang pertama melakukannya, mengapa ragu, membisu di mana logika hatiku jatuh cinta kepadanya. Logika di mana? Logika hatiku jatuh cinta kepadanya. Tetapi ternyata asmara tak kena dengan logika, tak kena dengan logika.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today's edition, I introduce you Pasar Apung in Banjarmasin, South Kalimantan Province. Floating Market, or it is well known Barito River Floating Market, is one of tourism destinations that must be visited in Banjarmasin, South Kalimantan Province. The floating market is a traditional market located on the Barito River, and it is open between 6:30 to 8 a.m. All traders and buyers use jukum or boat as a transportation to sell and look for goods. The history of the floating market cannot be separated from Banjar Kingdom that was established about 1595 Anno Domini. Its management was led by Patih Masih and Patih Queen, assigned from the local government. Along with the development of the region, the floating market is used as a main tourism destination in the city of Banjarmasin. Visiting the market is quite easy because the location is close to the city of Banjarmasin. First, we transit at Banjarmasin Syamsuddin Nur Airport in South Kalimantan. After arriving in the city, we can continue by using the Kloto boat, which takes about 45 minutes. Usually, we have to be at the floating market in the morning, because in the midday, the market atmosphere will disappear due to the sunrises. Enjoying the atmosphere of the floating market is a special experience for tourists who visit Banjarmasin. Here we can find the activities of selling and buying goods carried out on the river by using boat.
In addition, along the river, we can also see views of the houses of the Barito local people that are made of wood and quite strong. The type of wood used is olin wood because it is strong and it becomes stronger when being exposed to water. Moreover, in buying and selling activities, the stability of the boat is maintained by every buyer and seller because of the large waves from the shipping activities that carry large coal and sometimes carry large-sized logs. Vegetables, chicken, beef, fish, fruits, traditional culinary, until household items can be found at this floating market. So it is not strange that the atmosphere is crowded. Besides the existence of the floating market, which is quite unique and interesting, the trip to the floating market by using Klotok boat through interconnected tributaries is also an interesting experience. Because we will pass many villages along the river as if we are in Venice, Italy, until the historic and old mosque with greenish of Banjarmasin city. After enjoying the crowd of the market, we can visit the natural conservation of Kembang Island, which is not far from the market. The inhabitants are herd of monkeys. If we are lucky, we can give the snacks that we buy in the market to the preserved herd of monkeys. To increasingly introduce the existence of the floating market, the Banjarmasin Regional Government held an annual floating market festival every August, which aims to preserve local culture and to attract tourists, both domestic and foreign tourists. That was Indonesian Wonder for today about the floating market in Banjarmasin, South Kalimantan. We'll meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miscellany. So stay tuned, Voice Listener, on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to Miscellany. Today, we will inform you about IPB University ranks in the world's top 77 in Times Higher Education University Impact Rankings 2020. Stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. IPB University ranks among the world's top 77 times higher education, the University Impact Rankings 2020. This achievement is a significant jump compared to last year's achievement, which ranks 201 to 300. In the situation of COVID-19 pandemic, the impact rankings was announced on April 22, 2020 from London through a virtual meeting entitled The Innovation and Impact Summit. The impact's participation was attended by 766 of the world's best universities that delivered three teachings of performance related to 17 goals of Sustainable Development Goals, SDGs. This ranking system refers to publication, consistency, and evidence that show the performance of tertiary institutions in contributing to the achievement of SDGs. In this ranking, overall, IPB University sits at 77th rank in the world. Even for the five SDGs goals, IPB's performance was so good that it entered the world's top 50, namely 11 world rank for SDG number 2, zero hunger, which is to end hunger, achieve better food and nutrition security, and support sustainable agriculture. Ranked 19th for SDG number 5, gender equality, to achieve gender equality and empower all women and girls. Ranked 33rd for SDG number 15, life on land, which is to protect, restore, and support sustainable use of terrestrial ecosystems, manage forests sustainably, fight desertification, and inhabit and reserve soil degradation and loss of biodiversity. Rank 34th for SDG number 14, life below water, which is to conserve and sustainably utilize marine, oceanic, and maritime resources for sustainable development. Rank 35th for SDG number 1, no poverty, which is to end poverty in all forms anywhere. Besides, IPB University also occupies the top 100 position in the world in other five SDGs for climate action, ranked 73rd for partnership for the goals, ranked 75th for quality education, ranked 80th for affordable and clean energy and rank 19th for clean water and sanitation. The world's 11th rank for SDG number 2, or ending hunger, achieving better food and nutrition security, and supporting sustainable agriculture, was achieved because APB consistently carried out various technological and social innovations to ensure the implementation of sustainable agriculture. IPB University's food innovations include IPB 3S seeds, Kalina papaya, Jalai palm potatoes, Superior local chicken IPB D1, People's Animal Husbandry School, and many others. A number of its products can be obtained at Serambi Botani outlets in various cities in Indonesia. That was Miss Leni for today. Thanks for listening.
You are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners in today's edition, we would like to play a regional song from South Sulawesi entitled Alosi Ripolo Duo, which will be sung by Dildil. Aku terlahir di dunia ini untuk bersama dirimu. Nasibku mungkin telah berkata begitu, di mana kita berdua telah bertemu. That is the lyrics of the song, which means in English, I was born just for you. My destiny has set like that, where we have met. Not many Indonesian people know the love song, which was composed in Bugis language. Literally, the song tells about a love story of a couple who has similar face. People say if a couple has a similar face. People say if a couple has a similar face, so they will get married together. Even though nobody knows who composed it, the song is very popular among Bugis youth until now to express their feeling when falling in love. Well, listeners, here is Dildil with the song entitled Alosi Ripolo Duo. Happy listening.
Yeah.
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention, and after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.